Howard Lutnick, currently serving as the 41st United States Secretary of Commerce, joined Cantor Fitzgerald in 1983, rising rapidly to become its president and CEO at age 12 as a prominent Wall Street figure for over three decades, rebuilding Cantor Fitzgerald after the devastating loss of 658 employees, including his brother, in the September 11th, 2001 attacks, an event he somehow missed.
Jeffrey Epstein was your neighbor. He was your neighbor for 10 years. How well did you know him?
All right. So we are in number 11, and he lives in number 9.
The head of Cantor Herald, Harold Lutnick, just happened to be out of the office that day that the terrorists struck.
When I was talking to Cantor Fitzgerald brokers and bankers in the days leading up to 9/11, they themselves were buying these airline puts. They told me, based on rumors that were coming out of Alex Brown, associated with Buzzy Krongard. So this looks to me as if CIA insiders knew enough about what was going on, but chose to make money rather than blowing the whistle.
He literally watched the plane go into the building, go into the World Trade Center. Amazing story. That alone is an amazing story. He was delayed because his wife insisted that he finally, after years, take his child to school.
Recently, taking the economic wheel on the Trump administration's second term, Lutnick publicly championed and defended the tariffs as essential for national security and economic rebalancing, dismissing concerns about their legality or economic fallout, calling worries about Supreme Court invalidation silly.
In the very unlikely event that you're wrong, what is the contingency plan? You'd have to refund these tariffs? How the hell does that work?
You know, to think about silly things is a waste of time.
The mechanism offered companies an upfront payment of 20 to 30% of the duties paid in exchange for assigning their legal claim to any refund, effectively a litigation finance bet that the tariffs would be ruled unlawful, triggering government repayments of potentially hundreds of billions in collected duties. $175 billion at last count. Many have been quick to debunk the possibility of Lutnick scamming the United States. It is all based on a 2025 Wired magazine article that claimed the firm had already completed a $10 million deal in refund rights, a claim that remains a he said, she said between media reports and company denials. Regardless, Lutnick's myriad of Epstein connections is raining down like meteors from the sky.
We rebuild our house. We move in 2005. Okay. Jeffrey Epstein is arrested in like 08, I think, or something like
that. Right.
So knock on the door. His assistant on like a Saturday says, Mr. Epstein, your neighbor would like to invite you over for coffee.
Nick, I think you understand the root of concern here. It's the way you described very emphatically your first encounter with him in his apartment, said you were disgusted, would never have any contact with him again.
My wife and I decided that I will never be in the room with that disgusting person ever again.
Really?
So I was never in the room with him socially, for business, or for even philanthropy. If that guy was there, I wasn't going because he's gross.
Did you, in fact, make the visit to Jeffrey Epstein's private island?
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. To suggest there was anything untoward about that in 2012, I don't recall why we did it.
Lutnick is referencing a supposed innocent trip to Epstein Island, referenced in an Epstein email that reveals creepy details about the ages of the children, a constant red flag in the Epstein emails. This is followed up 3 years later with an invite to Jeffrey Epstein to an intimate event for Hillary Clinton at Cantor Fitzgerald from Lutnick, followed by another email 2 years later thanking Epstein for a donation in honor of Howard Lutnick.
Yeah. That's my story. A one and absolutely done.
This isn't a Trump issue. This is a reminder that the 41st United States Secretary of Commerce works for us, we the people. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Yeah, the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is The American Journal with Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. You bet your ass. It matters to us over here at InfoWars. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today on this beautiful Friday morning. A lot happening here. Maybe we're going to war. I don't know. A lot happening that we're going to dive into in just a second. I want to remind you guys all at home right now that we'll be taking your calls later in the show, so if you want to jump on the lines, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That is 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll probably get to those calls in about, I'd say, 24 minutes, roughly. So give us a call if you'd like to join the show and talk about the stories we've talked about thus far. I'm not really like a morning show girl, I feel like. It's the stumbles. If you guys were to hear me in like 4 more hours, I work my way through it. And I'm trying to weed myself off the caffeine these days. So there you go. I want to dive into what's been going on all across, obviously, the country, but most importantly, the world right now. And we've got the perfect guy on to do just that. Let's dive into this story first. The U.S. military apparently employed a laser today to take down these Border Patrol drones. It's all quite strange. We are learning about this because it took place near El Paso, Texas. Again, that's setting off red flags for you. That's because just a couple of days ago, we were told that our federal government had to shoot down, allegedly, had to take down several drones that they said were part of the cartel. Cartel apparently sent them. Again, that story was quite strange because if you remember, they shut down the airspace at first for 10 days and then they quickly stopped. All right, we'll open back up. It was all really, really strange. But now apparently they're also taking down Border Patrol drones by the El Paso area, which apparently, according to the FAA, is a restricted area. It's all quite strange. Joining me to discuss is Matt Tardio. He's been doing a deep dive into all of this. And I don't know what to think of this, Matt. So we're going to bring you in to talk. You obviously know this better than anyone else, the subject matter. What do you make of the report that our U.S. military had to take down a Border Patrol drone?
Like when you first started reading on it, I started to laugh a little bit because I saw you smirk and it just made me like lose control on the backside. But yeah, U.S. military shooting down a Border Patrol drone. That's very interesting that they're using the laser in order to do so. Yeah. But I mean, if we were to back it up 2 weeks ago, you know, you just said that the original reports that came out from the El Paso area prior to them shutting it down the airspace was that, you know, the White House officials were stating that it was cartel drone that ended up getting shot out. By mid-afternoon that day, the reporting changed to a party balloon, which was really, really interesting to me because these lasers are extremely high tech. Israel's been employing them for some time, and we've actually got a little bit of an insight to what that looks like. And I mean, you can see these things crystal clear. I mean, these are very high energy lasers that if they want, they could, you know, poke it on the drone and they can cut the wing off the drone, right? Like that's how high energy these lasers are from a great distance away. So I say that because it gives a very good picture of what exactly it is that they're shooting out of the sky. If it had been a party balloon that they had, you know, put up 2 weeks ago, they would have seen the balloon very clear, put the laser on it and pulled the trigger and you would have watched that sucker pop. And they would have known immediately it was a party balloon. There would have been zero, how do you want to say it, zero misinformation that ended up getting put out about it. But one thing's for dang sure, you know, if the United States Army is now shooting down Border Patrol drones, it means they're scared. And they're very, very worried, and their fingers kind of on the trigger. So why is it with all of the thousands of drones that are operating along the border all year long, and we have cartel drones going back and forth across the border, dropping off drugs and other things throughout the year, conducting reconnaissance on Border Patrol agents and such. Why is it now that within this 2-week time span, we now have people that are worried to the point where we're shooting our own stuff out of the sky? And I think that's the very real question that we need to look at, particularly while we're on the verge of going to war with Iran and after El Mencho's death down inside of Mexico. I think the United States is scared, and was the initial reporting we probably heard out of 2 weeks ago was probably accurate, and they just don't want to admit to it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to with this. Do you actually believe the narrative still from, you know, we brought you in immediately and you reacted to the report that this was a drone that was like a drone that was owned by the cartel was the initial report that came down from the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they told me. We haven't received any updates on all of that. Do you believe that report? Do you believe this report, too, that this was a Border Patrol drone? I mean, it sounds like to me that maybe it was a mistake. Or do you think that they were actually aiming to take down a Border Patrol drone? It just doesn't make any sense.
I actually believe that the U.S. Army could shoot down a Border Patrol drone. Yes, that is not beyond the realm of possibilities here. That is way more believable than a party balloon, because like I said, you know, these cameras are very high tech and they can look and see exactly what it is. The deconfliction that should have taken place before that gets shot down is the real question, right? Like, why didn't the United States military reach out to CBP and ask whether, or DHS, and ask whether or not they had drones operating in that area? That should be one of the very first things that you do, right? But aside from that, you know, do I believe the initial narrative about it being a party balloon? No, I don't. For that very reason, right? Because these lasers are very high tech, and the camera systems on them are very, very good, because those lasers have to be very precise in order to take those shots. So no, I don't believe that we shot down a party balloon initially or popped a party balloon 2 weeks ago over the border.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting so annoyed at this because I never know what to make of it. I don't trust anyone. I don't trust any of these folks, but so we keep you around, Matt. And you're the one who's helping us sift through all of this. I wanted to dive into another topic, too. This one was obviously the way we kicked off this morning when we learned that officials in Israel are being told if they are if they're not emergency officials working for the U.S. government, that they want them out. This is coming from the State Department right now. The State Department has authorized a departure of non-emergency U.S. government personnel and family members as well. Again, this is based in these came from the embassy in Israel. What do you make of this one? Because again, I mean, we keep getting told that we're getting closer and closer to possibly going to war with Iran. Does it sound like they're going to strike sometime soon now?
Yeah, most definitely. It sounds like we're about to be striking sometime soon. Mm-hmm. The evacuation of non-essential personnel is huge. And it's not just the United States that ended up doing that over inside of Israel. We also saw the same thing, you know, with China putting out the same order to their people over inside of Iran. You know, we've got the USS Ford that just arrived over inside of Israel, outside of the Port of Haifa earlier today, local time, all right, a little bit earlier today. It was over inside Crete refitting for about 3 days, 3 to 4 days, excuse me, before it actually left, and it headed over to Israel. And so now we've got another aircraft carrier. The interesting thing about this is we now have a bunch of F-22s that are staged over inside of Israel, and I believe it was up to 14 refueling aircraft as well that are at the airport over there, the main international airport. And so we've got a bunch of U.S. military aircraft that are on the ground over inside of Israel itself, and of course military aircraft are going to make it a pretty big target for Iran should they choose to strike first, particularly those refueling tankers. The aircraft that are aboard the Ford that are parked over outside of Israel right now could theoretically be used in a strike against Iran. They just have to refuel on the way over or back, right, in order to strike Iran, likely on the way over there. And if that's the case, that's what all of those refueling tankers are for on the ground over inside of Israel. At the same time, we have hundreds of aircraft stacked up over inside of the Middle East, with a bunch of them stacked up over inside of Jordan. And it's just kind of one of those things that's inevitable. The Iranian foreign minister, or the Iranian officials, had came out yesterday following the meeting over inside of Geneva, where they're trying to reach what is being called a peace deal between the United States and Iran. And they had said that everything is moving in the right direction. No deal has been reached yet, but it's moving in the right direction. And I think that framing is completely and totally out of context by saying that we're, you know, having negotiations. It's not a negotiation. The U.S. has demands for Iran. Zero uranium enrichment. They're not allowed to enrich any uranium. They have to stop funding foreign terror organizations around the Middle East, including Hezbollah, that was operating over inside of our hemisphere. And on top of that, they have to limit their ballistic missile range to 300 kilometers. Now, that's pretty scary when you start thinking about it, what our actual demands are, thinking that we're going to somehow come to some sort of an agreement on this, because those are the U.S.'s like red lines, you know. So where do you negotiate from 0% enrichment? Well, Iran's not going to negotiate on that. Ayatollah already came out and said that that's not going to happen. He actually threatened Trump in his Friday sermon that he was giving, talking about when he's screaming death to America. It doesn't mean death to America. It means death to Donald Trump and basically all his cronies. So that's, I mean, this is the rhetoric that the United States is dealing with. They've been in violation of the NPT that they're signatories to, that they claim that they suspended their, you know, status. They've denied the IAEA, the Atomic Energy Agency, the International Atomic Energy Agency, to go in and inspect any of the stockpiles post-strike. So we don't know what the status is of their 450 kilograms of enriched uranium, whether or not it's blown up, whether or not it's leached out in the environment, killing people. We got no freaking clue what's going on with it. So, I mean, all in all, it's just a huge problem. We've got more than enough aircraft in the region to knock the hell out of them. And I think it's going to happen in the very near future.
Yeah. It's kind of scary given the fact that we have these sleeper cells still living amongst us here in the United States. I keep asking for the statistics. Yeah. In regards to these, Matt, and I haven't heard any updates in regards to how many have been captured by DHS. And again, I mean, that's the intention. I'm assuming that these people would probably be hiding in mosques, and it would make it very difficult for our federal agencies to go out there and wrap them up, because for some reason we view Islam as a religion rather than, well, that's a whole nother argument for another day, I guess I could say.
I want to say the number that was put out by Joe Kent was 18,000 known or suspected terrorists that ended up entering the country, Islamic terrorists that ended up entering the country underneath Joe Biden. 18,000.
How horrifying. And I don't know if the American people know, the vast majority of these illegal invaders who've come into our country, these terrorists, actually come from our northern border. I don't know if you have any background on that, Matt, but I don't think the average American understands that the northern border is where they come in from. I think a lot of the focus has always been on the southern border, but because they know that our northern border is significantly larger, obviously, but it's also easier to get in from Canada, because Canada doesn't love their people, so they allow anyone in, and then they try to shuffle their way into the United States. It's a mess right now. And by the way, again, I'm just going to keep reminding people, DHS is not funded right now, so a lot of employees who aren't receiving paychecks are going to take time off to pick up other gigs. And so obviously that's a huge national security issue. But are you familiar with the northern border angle to all of this? Because I'm sure you've looked into it.
Yeah. I mean, the Canadians are pissed off about it, to be quite frank. Like, you look at what the Canadians are saying about the Islamic terrorists that have worked their way over into Canada, and a lot of the different things like the church burnings and things of that nature that have been happening over the last, you know, year and a half. And then it's really no wonder that our northern border is the way that they end up coming in. You look at the populations of, you know, kind of like the Midwest, and you know, one major municipality basically takes up, you know, like five major states over inside of the Midwest as far as, you know, population goes. Like, there's just nobody out there. It's just scattered no man's land. So yeah, I mean, that border is extremely insecure up there, and it's very easy for them to make their way over into the United States of America. And Canada provides a good, you know, access point for them in order to come in, regardless of where they're coming in from. The same thing goes true for, you know, like Russians. You know, we got a lot of Russians that go up over into Canada. You look over into northwestern United States of America, you've got a lot of like prior Russians that are actually up there over inside the Northwest. So the entire thing is just a problem. And it's not just the Islamic jihadists either. You know, we've got spies coming in from China. And we've also got a bunch of cartel members. You know, people are worried about sleeper cells as far as Islamic jihadists are concerned. Look at what happened in Mexico after El Mencho got killed, right? And how quickly over 200 roadblocks got thrown up and tons of people ended up getting murdered in gunfights, and everything just ended up taken out. You know, and that is just in the blink of an eye. They didn't see that coming, but they were able to activate all of their little, you know, cartel network down there. Well, in every major city, you got a bunch of, you know, cartel terror organizations that are operating. So if we go in and we start killing terrorists down inside of Mexico, guess what's going to happen here in the United States? It's nothing for them to flip that switch. So we've got lots of problems here in the United States. It's not just the jihadists. It's not just the cartels. You know, it's Chinese, it's Russians, it's all of them. You know, our borders were just screwed for years, and we've been ignoring it. I don't even think, I said this before, Donald Trump during his State of the Union address, you know, he said our borders are perfectly secured. Zero illegal aliens ended up crossing over the last year. That is just a flat out lie. You know, we had countless numbers of illegal aliens cross into the United States over the last year. What he probably meant to say was that more have gone the other way than have came in for the first time. We've had a net negative, but that doesn't mean they're not still getting into the United States. You know, our border is ridiculously unsecure.
Okay. So how many, give us some insight on this, because I haven't heard this argument yet. How many do you suspect have been able to make their way into the United States? And have you, like, how do you, what's the background on all of this information?
Well, you can take, you know, CBP encounters for, you know, last year down on the border, and, you know, CBP, depending on who you talk to, because they have different estimates for what they call gotaways. And so you can go over to CBP's website and you can look up, you know, the estimated amount, or not estimated amount, the beyond a CBP encounters for 2025. And for every single encounter, there's always X amount of gotaways that end up coming through. Now, the number has been drastically reduced over the last year, but it's not zero. Right. If we had zero people coming across the border illegally, there wouldn't be as many CBP encounters as there was. Underneath the Biden admin, I want to say it maxed out at 2.8 mil as far as the high number goes for CBP encounters. Underneath Trump, I think it dropped to under 500,000. I'd have to go look at the direct number over the last year. But I mean, it significantly declined. And that is kind of like the, you know, average of where it kind of like sits at. But either way, there's always those gotaways that get factored in. And you could look up, you know, previous interviews of CBP chiefs that'll come out and they'll tell you the exact same thing. We don't know how many get away. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, that is pretty horrifying. And I think it was yesterday, the day before, that there were three unaccompanied minors who were also trying to make their way into the country as well from the southern border. And it just seems strange. But again, that probably is a deflection of resources trying to use it to pivot. So we'll keep looking into that story. But there's another story, too, that you just put on my radar as well. I didn't know that there was something going on between Pakistan and Afghanistan, but apparently it's pretty bad right now. Can you give us a little bit of a briefing as to what's going on right now between both those countries?
Yeah, the Taliban picked a fight with Pakistan, made a very horrible mistake in doing so. I mean, they've been having, you know, disputes along the border, and you have a group that's called the TTP, which is, you know, identified as Taliban, but the Taliban, the official Taliban government, and I hate to call them that, of Afghanistan, doesn't necessarily recognize them, but they've been, you know, attacking Pakistani military forces inside the Pakistani borders for quite some time. Pakistan told them to get, you know, told the Taliban to get them under control. Taliban said, we're not affiliated with them. So Pakistan, you know, started attacking. As soon as they started attacking the TTP, then we saw, you know, the official Taliban rolling out and U.S. military vehicles heading over towards the border with Pakistan. Overnight, I think it's estimated that Pakistan has killed over 400 Taliban members, destroyed over 50 Border Patrol checkpoints. They currently own 20 of them that used to belong to the Taliban, different border outposts, you know, because you have a very mountainous region spread across the border. So they have different mountain outposts. They're just kind of like set up there, you know, picture small little military outposts that are set out there. And they've taken out like ginormous numbers of, you know, armored vehicles, tanks, APCs, Humvees, things of that nature. They were bombing Kabul. They have taken out numerous battalion headquarters elements of the Taliban in three different provinces across Afghanistan. And it's still ongoing to this morning. They're treating artillery fire across the border. And it looks like, at least in this case, that the Taliban is getting their butt handed to them. And it's going to continue on that way for quite some time until they learn to stay within their borders.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll keep our eye on that. That's an interesting one, too. It's such a mess, Matt. It's literally, there's never any peace in the Middle East. And I know the president likes to push for that, nudge for that, but I don't think there's ever going to be peace in the region at all. And we just got to keep all of them out. Got to keep them all out of this country.
No.
And kick the ones out.
Well, number one, it's Ramadan. Let's be perfectly clear about what's going on right now. It's Ramadan. And they get extra concessions in their radical Islamic belief up in heaven if they end up dying as part of like a holy war. And they die as martyrs for that holy war. So that's exactly what's going on. Like, let's be perfectly clear about that, right? You cannot take out the Ayatollah and get rid of a radical religious ideology. There is one way to get rid of a radical religious ideology and only one proven way to get rid of a radical religious ideology, but I don't think the world is ready for that.
Yeah, I don't. I am now. I don't think the world's ready for it, though. I was actually just watching a video, too. I was trying to quickly find it. It is a suicide bomber. The Pakistani Taliban have carried out a suicide bombing. Again, I don't know what side this person's on. I'm assuming, though, since it looks like the Pakistani police checkpoint was targeted.
Yeah, the suicide bomber's from the TTP, and he's walking over to the Pakistani checkpoint. Yeah, it's exactly what's taking place.
And he just blew himself up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all
quite disgusting.
And it
took place a couple days ago. And you're going to get a huge increase in suicide bombers during, you know, Ramadan because of that very reason, because they are guaranteed to die as a martyr. They're guaranteed their place in heaven. All of their sins are forgiven. They get all of these extra concessions. A lot of the times their families will get, you know, extra payouts and things like that because of it. So yeah, they're perfectly happy to go and die for the cause. They're not going to stop. But the good news is it's one less terrorist on the planet. So we've got that going. You know, every suicide bomber at least guarantees one less terrorist, which is a good thing.
Yeah. And this is the video I was just talking about, as he walks up to the police and then he blows himself up. Four Pakistani police officers were killed in this explosive. Who knows what he had on him. But of course, this is one of the many, many issues that they have in the Middle East and that they're trying to bring here. You know, Matt, when they sit here and make the argument that they want to bring Islam to the West and they want to conquer us, it wouldn't end their violence. I mean, they can't even coexist with one another. It would only continue to accelerate, and just had enough of it. Let's just purge it all out of the West. The American.
Who do you think are the people saying, "Let's bring Islam to the West"? Right? Do you think it's the moderates that are happy, like where they're sitting at, that are just kind of hanging out over in their country, or the ones that are going, "We need to take Islam to the West," i.e., we need to go conquer the West? Do you think that those are like nice, peaceful guys, or do you think those are the radical ones? Right? It's not like they're missionaries, like flying over here and being like, "Have you guys heard of Allah? Have you heard of the Prophet Muhammad?" You know, that's not what they're doing.
Yeah.
At all. That is not the way they're going about life. That's not what they're doing at all. They're looking at taking things over. And those suicide bombers, by the way, you know, somebody had mentioned that Pakistan has nukes, and then the leader of the Taliban, one of the ground force commanders of the Taliban, actually got word of, you know, Pakistan threatening nukes or hearing about their nukes. And he put out yesterday, "I don't give a damn if Pakistan has a bunch of nukes because we have suicide bombers and our suicide bombers are gonna have greater effects than your nukes. What are you going to do? You know, we're all willing to die for the cause, and we'll all just strap on a vest and go walk into Pakistan. What are you going to do about it?" I mean, that is the ideology. That is the ideology. How do you stop someone that's sole goal is to kill you and they're willing to give their life in order to do it? And the answer is you have to kill them. So you can take that how you will. People get upset with me when I talk about genocide when it goes down to radical Islam. And sometimes genocide can actually be a good thing. But the fact is that they're willing to genocide themselves. So what do? You canoe their foreheads. There's not another answer that goes into stopping this madness, right? It's not like we can put them on an isolated island and call it a day, right? Israel tried that over inside of Gaza. Look where Gaza's at today, right? Didn't work out so good, right? All they did was build a radical Islamic jihad base with hundreds of miles of tunnels underneath civilian infrastructure, still managed to get an RPG, surface-to-air missiles, belt-fed weapons, explosives, right? All of this crap with like one of the most like surveilled borders in the freaking world. So yeah, there's one answer when it comes down to getting rid of radical Islam. One.
Yeah. I don't think the American people could stomach it right now. I mean, sad.
It's not their job to stomach it. Yeah. It's not their job to stomach it, you know? And that's why, unfortunately, you know, when people are looking at the different things the United States military is doing, they go, well, we don't agree with this. Well, that's great. You don't have to. All right. You can take your pacifist ideology and you could push it up your own butt and go sit down and relax, because my kids' safety, my family's safety, everybody else's safety depends on it. I don't care about your pacifist ideology. What I actually care about is the national security and the safety of the United States of America. And just because you don't understand violence doesn't mean they don't. So leave it up to the men that actually understand it and allow them to go take care of it and kill these bastards before they start killing us back here at home. And the worst part is, I think even if 9/11 happened today here in the United States of America, that they would probably end up setting up a memorial for the freaking pilots. You know what I mean? Like these radical leftists would, "Oh, you don't understand where they came from. You just don't get it. You don't understand the hardship that they went through. You've got American privilege. So you don't understand what these radical, you know, Islamists were going through. Suck off. Let us kill them and call it a day."
This is why we have you on, Matt Tardio, because you always give us the best insights. And folks at home, if you want to keep following him on X, because he does a great podcast as well, make sure you do just that at Anger Tab. That's at Anger Tab, where you can find him at. Great podcast, I tell you. Great podcast. Matt, thanks for jumping on with us as always. We appreciate your insight.
Of course. Thank you, ma'am.
All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our BOGO sale going on, and it's only going on until Monday. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the site. Again, it's buy one, get one free. When you buy Ultimate Creatine, you can either get Sea Moss gummies or the She Legit gummies for free over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. the worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke, fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition in aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. It takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us today. If you want to call into the show, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I actually just looked over and it looks like the members in Congress are about to speak in a second. I'll let you know when they do. We'll bring it right to you, but they are making their way to the podium right now, and our control room will get that up and going, and we'll bring it to you right now. Take a listen.
All across America who have kept up with the whole Epstein investigation and are outraged by the obvious fact that men and women for that matter, of great power and great wealth from all across the world have been able to get away with a lot of heinous crimes, and they haven't been held accountable, and they haven't even had to answer questions about what they knew and when they knew it. Today, we hope to be able to do as we did yesterday and continue to bring some of the most powerful people in the world in to answer questions. Again, no one's accusing anyone of any wrongdoing, but I think the American people have a lot of questions, and our House Oversight Committee is committed to getting answers. We're committed to transparency. We've already seen a lot of very powerful people who have been held accountable by having to resign in disgrace from various boards all over the world. We're going to continue to seek the truth, try to figure out how the government failed the victims, and try to hopefully hold more people accountable. That's what the purpose of this investigation is. I will say this, it's very difficult to get people in for these depositions that of great power and great wealth. And I used yesterday and today as an example. It took 7 months, 7 months to get the Clintons in here. But we've got them in here, and we look forward to answering, to asking lots of questions that I think any curious media outlet in America would have. Yesterday, Ms. Clinton deferred a lot of questions to her husband today. There were at least a dozen times when she said, "You'll have to ask my husband that. Mm-hmm. I can't answer that." Mm-hmm. So we already had a big portfolio of questions for him, and that increased yesterday. So we look forward to that. We'll be happy to answer a couple of questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Chad.
Mr. Chairman, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Explain to us specifically what you need to hear from President Clinton today. What do you want to know?
Well, I think everyone's seen there are a lot of photos that have been released by the Department of Justice as well as the Epstein estate. There are a lot of email correspondence that included President Clinton. We know President Clinton had, and Secretary Clinton confirmed this yesterday, Jeffrey Epstein was in the White House 17 times while Bill Clinton was president. We know that Bill Clinton flew on Jeffrey Epstein's plane at least 27 times. So those are questions that we're going to ask. Everything that most media outlets have reported with respect to pictures and correspondence between Epstein, Maxwell, and Bill Clinton, these are all questions that we're going to ask today.
Yes.
Yesterday, you both told me that you were planning on asking about an email that Howard Lutnick sent to Jeffrey Epstein, I presume about a Hillary Clinton fundraiser. I think that was the one. If he's worth asking about, is he not worth asking in to talk about what he might know?
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting when we hopefully get that video out later today or tomorrow as quick as we can get it out. I think it'll be interesting what Hillary Clinton said about Howard Lutnick.
And how she said it.
We looked, I think that was Ms. Mace, with the line of questioning. So there was a pretty thorough line of questioning yesterday between Ms. Mace and Ms. Clinton with respect to Lutnick. And I think you all find it very interesting what she had to say. But we're going to continue to ask questions of everyone that shows up in photos on the island and things like that. Yes.
Yes. I'll ask for the Secretary.
I will be asking.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, we've heard from Secretary Clinton after her deposition. She described the session as repetitive. She said it veered off topic. Mm-hmm. She was asked about things like UFOs, Pizzagate. Can you explain why those topics were brought up? Mm-hmm. Also, in light of the release of that photo.
And she also said there were substantive questions yesterday, too. But one reason there were repetitive questions about Epstein is because we went through every email and every correspondence that implied Hillary Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein communicated often. You all have seen the email where he said that she looks better in person and all of that. Those were questions we asked. So every item of evidence that would suggest Hillary Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein had a close relationship, we went and asked about that. So it may have seemed repetitive because there was a lot of documentation that would suggest that she had a relationship with Epstein.
And
so,
go ahead. Secretary Clinton actually asked about the NDAA. Sorry.
Go ahead.
To be clear, Secretary Clinton actually asked us about what happened with the disclosure language in the NDAA. So, I mean, I know she's trying to pivot from the fact that she's here and she had a very close relationship regarding the Clinton Foundation and Epstein and Maxwell. But the point is, and I think I'd like to hit on this with probably Ms. Mace here, but I think we have a very important interest in curiosity about what specifically the co-conspirators had a role in all this, right? We know for a fact that some of these were women. And I think that today, at least with my line of questioning, you know, I'm curious about that. Why is it that these women were giving plea deals as adults for trafficking minors? How much of that did they witness, et cetera? And so, you know, I don't know that Secretary Clinton was all that honest about the context of this investigation. We asked extensively about intelligence ties, whether or not she felt that she was targeted as a result of possibly an intelligence gathering operation. And she was very curiously interested in that. And then also, you'll hear it in the response, but had told us to follow up with a few countries, one of which is our ally. So that's interesting.
And I think Ms. Luna brought up a good point about the Clinton Foundation. There's so many examples in the evidence the Department of Justice released in correspondence where Epstein bragged about how involved he was initially in setting up the Clinton Global Initiative and the Clinton Foundation. We asked those questions to Secretary Clinton yesterday, and she kept saying, well, she was in the Senate at that time. She wasn't focused on it. You'll have to ask my husband. So a lot of the Clinton Global Initiative questions yesterday went unanswered because Ms. Clinton deferred to her husband. So we'll ask, we'll do one more question. Annie, go ahead. I'm going to let Ms. Mace answer that. We're on TV.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything. She didn't want to answer any questions about any of that and deferred most of those, if not all of those questions, to her husband. And he will be thoroughly asked about that today. You know, what did he know? What did he know? What did he see? Because there are other people who've come forward publicly, like Kevin Spacey, who thought all of this was very strange and actually a very high risk for President of the United States or former president. It's all very bizarre, but I asked her very pointed questions, and you'll see that in the transcript in the video that comes out, and you'll see how she responded as well, screaming.
We'll close with this. We're going to get the video out as quickly as we can get it uploaded in the sound and everything from yesterday. So this is, for all practical purposes, a public deposition. The American people are going to see it. I heard C-SPAN's going to air it wire to wire. So everyone's going to see what was asked yesterday. And I think that'll answer a lot of questions, especially with Lutnick and other things like that. Throughout the day, we'll try to send different members out to give you brief updates. We don't want to disclose what's going on in the deposition specifically until at the conclusion. But we'll keep you updated, and we appreciate everyone being here and look forward to updating you throughout the day. Thank you all.
All right, so they're wrapping things up, and they're heading on in.
She was unhinged, and I hope that President Clinton is less unhinged today than his wife was yesterday. You'll see it.
Speaking of unhinged, Nancy Mace, she is an expert. Let's see.
She was basically instrumental, for his words, and I think you'll find out from Clinton probably today, in sending up the Clinton Global Initiative.
President Trump said that he was bothered by Bill Clinton coming in.
All right.
The biggest thing is we need transparency, accountability, and we need justice for the victims. And we need to make sure we find out how can we write laws to prevent human trafficking and prevent people of that evil level infiltrating the highest levels of government. Thank you.
All right. So I think we're done. I think everything's wrapped up now. As you just heard there, they're trying to figure out what kind of laws they could draft up to prevent human trafficking. Well, we do have laws on the books, and the DOJ failed to do its job. But that was all intentional, not a mistake, of course. So I don't think we need more laws. I think we need people in power who will enforce those laws and aren't afraid of the deep state operatives looking to target people for doing their damn jobs. As you heard there, though, you heard James Comer, who's the chairman of this committee, go out and say that he could expect possibly the Hillary Clinton depo to be dropped either today or possibly tomorrow, and then said it's pretty much like an open testimony. I mean, why aren't we doing this in open congressional spaces? Why are we doing this behind closed doors? There's no reason for that. And the Clintons told you directly. Yesterday, we heard Hillary say, I actually wanted it to be out there in public. I wanted to do this openly. Now, it looks like Democrats are now making way to the podium. Let's hear how they're trying to cover up.
The Oversight Committee for Democrats. And we're going to make some brief comments. Everyone's got a few brief remarks, and then we're going to start the deposition. I want to just begin by just saying that what we're interested in today is a serious deposition. We have real questions that deserve serious answers from former President Clinton. And we have said from day one that Democrats want to talk to anyone, whether they are a Republican or a Democrat, no matter how powerful they are, whatever position that they've been in, if anyone has information about Jeffrey Epstein and certainly the horror that he inflicted on so many women and children, we want to hear from them. What we do not want today is a sideshow and questions about UFOs or about conspiracy theories from decades ago, which is what unfortunately happened yesterday when a series of bizarre questions were asked of Secretary Clinton. And Secretary Clinton was clear. She never met Jeffrey Epstein. She never went on the island. She was never on the plane. And she had no knowledge, of course, of Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. Want to also add that there are a lot of questions today, whether they're about Epstein's finances, about survivors, about foreign intelligence, that we look forward to asking in a way that's serious and dignified, and we hope Republicans do the same. I also want to add one other thing, which I think is really important. Republicans have now set a new precedent, which is to bring in presidents and former presidents to testify. So we're once again going to make that call that we did yesterday. We are now asking and demanding that President Trump officially come in and testify in front of the Oversight Committee. He appears in the Epstein files next to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell almost more than anybody else. So it's time for the president to answer questions about why files are missing from the DOJ, why there's been a White House cover-up, and why we continue in that administration to call this investigation a hoax. And finally, I'll review the call that we made yesterday that we are demanding again that the press and the public be allowed inside the depositions so that you can hear the answers and the questions directly. And if that's not going to happen, they need to release a full, unedited review of the questions and video within 24 hours of the end of these depositions. That means the Secretary Clinton deposition needs to be released immediately today. And with that, I'll pass it along to Mr. Faust.
Thank you so much. Today we're here to conduct a serious investigation. And it is obvious that our Republican colleagues, at least yesterday, were not here to do the same thing. We've said it many times and we'll continue to say it again. We will hear from anyone. We don't care who you are. We just want the truth. All of us have met with the survivors. All of us looked them in the eyes and promised them that we would see this thing through the end and do it in a serious way. Asking questions about UAPs, UFOs, as interested as I am in the subject too, it has nothing to do with this investigation. Don't waste our time. Don't waste the time of survivors who have been waiting and waiting for justice. Now, finally, the government is paying attention. Members of Congress are paying attention. Stay focused on the matter at hand. We're also calling out the hypocrisy of our Republican colleagues who, yes, we're here to talk with President Clinton today. We'll talk with anyone. But how come people like Howard Lutnick, see, it seems like they don't want to talk with him. They don't want to talk with the president. They don't want to call in Pam Bondi, who has done everything that she can do to cover up and to slow down our investigation. A law passed by Congress damn near unanimously that she's done everything she can to slow down the release of the files. And even when they're released, and they said members of Congress would be able to go to the Department of Justice to view them unredacted. I know all of us, if not most of us, have gone in there and seen files that are still redacted and not given a proper explanation as to why we can't view them. We know the Department of Justice has deleted things having to do with Donald Trump, has deleted things having to do with Howard Lutnick and people connected to the administration. We know that Pam Bondi has been spying on members of Congress as we've been trying to conduct our legitimate oversight responsibilities. So we're here to see this through. We're here because we know that this is about justice for the survivors, but justice also means that this never happens again. That's why this investigation is so important. We don't want this failure of government, this failure of elite billionaires getting away with a different system of justice. We don't want this to happen again. And that's why we're here today. We are serious about this. And my hope is that my Republican colleagues who say they're serious about it, back it up with action. Not just with the questions you ask here today, but what you do from here on out. It's not about party. It's about this nation. It's about protecting our most vulnerable people. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm James Walkinshaw from Virginia's 11th District.
I am glad that President Clinton is going to sit down today with us and answer questions under oath. Anybody who had a significant relationship with Jeffrey Epstein should explain what, if anything, and when they knew about the crimes that were being committed. President Clinton's sworn statement said that he had no knowledge of the crimes that were committed, and I know that we're committed to asking tough questions about that today. But President Clinton's presence here today, under oath, highlights the Donald Trump-sized gaping hole in Chairman Comer's investigation. President Trump is mentioned tens of thousands of times in the files. We learned in recent days that files related to an accusation made against President Trump have been removed, not released to the public in the files. And this investigation will not be complete until we bring President Trump in to answer questions under oath. I'm hopeful that Chairman Comer will have the courage to move us in that direction. Thank you.
I'm Congressman Suhas Subramaniam from Virginia's 10th District. We're going to ask President Clinton the hard questions today. We're going to get to the truth about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. But let's be real. We're talking to the wrong president today. President Trump is the one who has not released 2.5 million files. President Trump is the one who is blocking our investigation. President Trump is the one who wants this to go away, but it will not go away. And so, yes, we will talk.
All right, buddy, you calm it down over there. You didn't act that aggressive when Joe was occupying the White House. Of course, now you want to pretend like, oh, we got the wrong president here. No, you got the right one. The one who was enjoying some nice flights on Epstein's private jets, enjoying some, you know, alleged hangout sessions with Epstein. We're not going to run that propaganda. Obviously, there's a lot of questions that Bill's going to have to answer for today, hopefully. Hopefully Republicans ask the right questions. But again, you saw House Republicans come out and say, oh, yeah, this is going to be pretty much like a public hearing because we'll release the recordings on a Friday and a Saturday. In the news world, we call that burying the lead because, well, you're going to be paying attention to your weekend. You're not going to want to watch a 6-hour depo, of course. That's why they do these things. All right, let's turn to some callers right now. Let's turn to Ron. Ron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Brianna.
Morning.
After all that, I could say something serious, but I really called in for a little levity. So for a disclosure, this is for entertainment purposes only. But first, I want to put in a plug for some of your supplements there. Ultra DNA Revival and the Life Force are fantastic. They really kind of got me back to normal after hanging around with the Clintons. And with all the pain in the world today, I do use your turmeric gummies, and I probably eat more than I should. And the methylene blue has actually brought my brain back to normal. But I just wanted to relay a little funny story here. Again, this is for levity purposes only. But I used to hang around with the Clintons way back in Mena, Arkansas, and I worked for them. And Bill paid well, and I could always get a kilo of Coke when we were bringing it in. And because I did such a good job at inventory and things, they gave me a job in the government, and I went to work for USAID, and I kept watching Chelsea grow up. Boy, I wanted to marry her. She was such a beautiful thing. Besides, that would allow me to hang around with Hillary and get some of her, absorb some of her knowledge. But at any rate, seeing her talk yesterday, I couldn't believe some of the stuff she was talking about, you know, that she was letting out. And, you know, it's funny because I did go to Chelsea's wedding there, and because being with USAID, I brought the $3.5 million to help pay for her wedding. And they appreciate that. But you know how Hillary is. She's kind of gruff. So that's my story about the Clintons. And, I've had a lot of fun. But I think I need some more of that methylene blue now because telling this whole story just fatigued me. So I hope you guys have a good day. And hope you enjoyed that. Oh, God, there's Bill again with Monica. At any rate, I've overdone myself, so I hope you have a nice day.
Thank you for calling in, Ron. We appreciate your time and appreciate you waiting on hold there. Eris in Wisconsin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
How you doing, Brianna?
Good, how are you?
Happy Friday. I just want to say first, the outfit and the hair looks great today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
But it's on the border. You're getting a little gothic, but I understand with the Epstein stuff.
You call me.
A little dark-sided sometimes. Yeah, but do you watch Joe Rogan?
I catch clips. I never have enough time to sit down for a full 3 hours and watch anything.
He was recently having a podcast where he had Jim Brewer, the comedian, on. Uh-huh. And they were talking about some emails I saw regarding Epstein. And it was like a two-set where one was like an email where Epstein and a confidant were talking about how he doesn't have a prostate. And Epstein says in the email, no, he doesn't. And then there's another email, the coroner report, that says he does have a prostate, the body the coroner had. So I was wondering, you know, did he grow one? Did he harvest one? Obviously, I'm being sarcastic, you know. It's obviously not the same person, you know, a body double. You can't have a prostate removed and then a prostate reinstalled, and the coroner's not going to notice. So I thought it was just another indicator that, you know, he's still on the loose. And I think it would be great if they brought him in like Osama bin Laden style. You know, don't throw him in the ocean. You know, you got to bring the monster in front of people to reaffirm that America is still in power and not under threat of some foreign organization. You know, it's become to the point where it's literally a threat to national security. Other countries lobbying, other groups lobbying over America. And you can see right now, today we have a former president, Bill Clinton, in the mix on this. Everybody said it was a conspiracy theory and a rumor. Obviously, he's part of the mix. They grabbed him up because, look, the first place he attacked him and Hillary was Serbia. And Serbia was a big hub of that. He was probably taking some Serbian people, and there was organ harvesting there and people missing, women taken. And it echoed in Stanley Kubrick's movie where the person, the actor, who plays the person who's selling his kid is one of the only Serbian actors that Hollywood uses. He has a kind of a Russian Soviet Count Chocula accent, you know. And it's just astounding to me that it's been confirmed in spades that, you know, these type of monsters are among us and running loose, running rampant. And I'm excited to see Bill Clinton today on how he's going to answer these questions, because he totally looks like a zombie. He's walking around like Biden. He was wearing some red tennis shoes, too, which I don't know if you know about the red shoe conspiracy theory.
Well, we only got 20 seconds left, so I got to jump in on here. No, I mean, the prostate thing is quite strange. I haven't heard that one yet. I could look into it, but I'm not the expert on prostates, as many of you probably assumed. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Folks, if you're on hold, stay put. We're going to get into the calls in just a little bit. Still, if you want to call, 877-789-2539 is the number to call right now.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. patriotapparel.com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.